This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Deadly shootout in South Carolina. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 4th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Seven law enforcement officers have been shot during a hostage situation involving children in Florence, South Carolina. One officer was killed.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill today are expected to review the FBI report that looked at accusations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
A thumbs down for a White House attempt to change immigration laws. A federal judge has ruled against attempts to end deportation protections.
And Amazon's new wage announcement is having ripple effects across the job market.
Right at the time where a lot of retailers and warehouses and all those folks are looking to find seasonal workers, Amazon just upped the ante in terms of what sort of should be the minimum pay you can expect for these jobs. Right off the bat, Walmart, that's Macy's, that's UPS, all need workers right now, and Amazon just said, well, we're going to pay everyone $15 an hour.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Marath on how Amazon's new pay raise is pressuring others. Seven police officers have been shot during a hostage situation in South Carolina. One was killed, and six others were wounded yesterday when a gunman took an unknown number of children hostage in the city of Florence. The gunman was arrested, and the children were all released safely. Killed in the line of duty was 52-year-old Officer Terrence Carraway, a 30-year veteran of the force. Florence Police Chief Alan Heidler.
Today will mark a very horrific day in the annals of the Florence Police Department. Today we lost a good friend of mine, an officer that I've known for 30 years.
Authorities had shown up at the house of the gunman at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon to serve a warrant for an unknown offense. The shooting in Florence, roughly 80 miles east of Columbia, occurred in an upscale neighborhood in the western part of the city. The area had already been reeling from the effects of Hurricane Florence, which caused extensive flooding in the state. To Washington now, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has set up a procedural vote for tomorrow on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Meanwhile, Judiciary Committee staff will get a look this morning at the FBI report that examined allegations of sexual assault and misconduct against Judge Kavanaugh. They'll be briefed separated by party. Senator McConnell said senators would have time starting today to review the FBI findings before voting later this week.
This information comes on top of what was already been one of the most thorough and most exhaustive Senate reviews of any Supreme Court nominee in the entire history of our country.
Tomorrow's vote is expected to indicate whether the votes are there for confirmation. If it's yes, a final vote could be Saturday. The report won't be made public and is not expected to draw explicit conclusions, so senators could take different messages from it. On that note, Mr. McConnell tweeted, quote, "Does anyone really think that the same people who called Judge Kavanaugh evil before they heard one word of testimony will be satisfied?" Republicans are planning a careful choreography for reviewing the results of the FBI's background probe into Judge Kavanaugh that includes restricting its distribution and inviting senators to a secure meeting room in the Capitol to review the report. So says Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at USA Today. She's with us from Capitol Hill. Eliza, what will happen?
There's this memorandum from 2009 that's a bipartisan memorandum that lays out how these things can be processed, and it's basically a lot of secrecy. It goes to the White House. The White House gives it to the Senate Judiciary Committee, who take it into a room, and they have a safe and someone watching it. There's just one copy, and then senators can request to be briefed on it. It's not exactly clear if it'll be that once it's here, if they'll be taking it to senators or if it will be in a secure location at the Capitol. where senators can come look at it. It's looking more likely it'll be at a secure location. But the main point of this is that just senators and 9 other staff members who have been cleared can look at this. So Americans who want to see this FBI report will basically are out of luck at this moment.
Okay. I get the sense that as secret as it's going to be, somebody's going to leak stuff.
Right. I get that sense. As a reporter, I hope so. And that's a concern, actually. It's interesting that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Judiciary Committee have said, look, we're following this memorandum. We're, you know, kind of doing this by the books. But both Republicans and Democrats, rank and file members, have said, well, if we can't show them the actual files from the FBI, let's at least do a summary and release that, because this is a special circumstance. And a lot of Republicans have said exactly what you just said. They've said, I am concerned about selective leaking. So if it's forced to remain private, you know, then people might leak just part of it or what they view as correct. And I'm sure that both sides are concerned about selective leaking. And so that's really, you're seeing rank and file members call for that, but no one has really been able, Republicans are not going to withhold their vote over this, and Democrats don't have much power. So at this point, it really is up to leadership and how they handle it.
We're speaking with Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at USA Today. She's on Capitol Hill. Deserve may be the wrong word in this phrase, so correct me, but do Americans deserve to see this report, or is that, do we normally not see these background checks on any officials that the FBI looks into for appointed positions or whatever?
We normally do not see these background checks, but we also normally do not have a public hearing where a Supreme Court nominee is being accused of sexual assault, and all of America has watched and, you know, is making decisions. So it's just, it's really a special circumstance. In 1991, the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas hearing over sexual harassment, they did change sort of how they handled the FBI report coming back. They didn't do it exactly the traditional way because they say it was special circumstances then. And that's certainly the argument people are making this time around, but we'll have to see what happens when the FBI report shows up here at the Capitol.
Any idea like what format it will be in? Like, will the FBI say or present, this is every question we asked of everybody we talked to, and here is the precise word response that those witnesses gave to us? Like, is that the way it works, or is it some sort of summary, or what?
So I'm not exactly clear, but we do know that it will be the FBI 302. So it's forms, basically, they're kind of like memos about interviews, and it's, Senator Bob Corker described it to us as like raw data. So it's, we're not going to see a summary that says this is what we think happened and this is who is correct. It might just be a pile of papers basically summarizing different interviews. Maybe questions are included, maybe not, but really pretty raw. And then the senators will go through it, and Corker raised something basically saying, you know, people could contradict each other. And there's no real clear summary expected. It's not like all tied up in a nice package. It's just a bunch of interviews and notes about interviews bound together.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at USA Today. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. A federal judge in California has barred the Trump administration from implementing a plan to end temporary protections for more than 300,000 immigrants in the U.S. from El Salvador, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Sudan. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The judge yesterday issued a preliminary injunction in a suit brought by immigrants with temporary protected status, or TPS. That designation offers protection from deportation to those already here, including those who entered illegally from countries affected by things like natural disasters or civil war. The judge ruled the government has failed to establish any real harm if the status quo is maintained during litigation. Homeland Security argues that conditions in those 4 countries are now suitable for residents to return home. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Department of Homeland Security, which manages TPS, has also argued that the program has been wrongly extended for years. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
More than seven law enforcement officers were shot, one fatally, when a gunman unleashed a hail of fire on police from inside a home yesterday near Florence, South Carolina, sparking a siege that ended with the suspect's arrest. Details of the shooting and how it ended remain sketchy, but Florence County Sheriff Kenny Boone says several of his deputies came under attack as they tried to serve an otherwise routine search warrant.
The way the suspect was positioned, his view of fire was several hundred yards. So he had an advantage.
The officer who died has been identified as Terrence Caraway, a 30-year veteran of the Florence Police Department. Three county sheriff's deputies and three other Florence City Police officers were struck by gunfire in the incident. The Senate is bracing for a crucial initial vote tomorrow on Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination after Majority Leader Mitch McConnell set his polarized chamber on a schedule to decide an election season battle that has consumed the nation.
I'm filing cloture on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination this evening so the process can move forward, as I indicated earlier this week.
A showdown roll call over confirmation seems likely over the weekend. Recreational marijuana use is becoming more common, but in a new study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry, researchers suggest proceeding with caution as science considers its effects on the adolescent brain. Scientists at the University of Montreal who conducted research into how weed affects brain development found that regular marijuana users, especially those who begin using it earlier in their lives, were far more likely to suffer repercussions in their thinking ability. The study concluded that marijuana affected teenagers' long-term cognitive abilities more than alcohol use. And even after students reported stopping pot use, their cognition did not improve. It'll be the matchup many baseball fans are hoping for, a Yankees-Red Sox American League Division Series. The Yankees got there via their 7-2 win over the Oakland Athletics in last night's wild card game. Yankees manager Aaron Boone says, bring on Boston.
I think they can't wait. And I think they're ready and relish the opportunity to go up against the game's best this year. And obviously we're very familiar with them. We know how good they are.
The best of five series starts tomorrow night in Boston.
You hinted there in your introduction to Aaron Boone that there was going to be some smack talk.
You think?
Bring on Boston. And then he's like,
I know.
Yes, we have a game tomorrow. We have a game tomorrow against Boston. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Thanks for being with us. Americans' credit scores are higher than ever. The average FICO score, a widely used credit rating named for the Fair Isaac Corporation, is now just above 700. It hit that number in April, according to a new report. Here's why from MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, what's up here?
Yeah, so this is some good news from FICO. That's a commonly used credit score. They said that Americans' average scores are now 704, which is considered to be a good score. They've kind of been steadily increasing. And yeah, now they're at their highest ever level.
Boy, so at 704, I know there have been some recent changes that have helped. Do lenders see that 704 like with an asterisk?
Yeah, that is a good point. So something that did happen in the last year was a one-off thing. All three bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, you know, kind of took a new policy that there needed to be more documentation on your credit report than ever before to justify certain things like a tax lien. And so some people actually had one-off kind of things taken off of their scores this year that won't happen again. And that helped people who had those problems with, you know, it gave them about 10 points on average, which is significant. So that is one of the things that's happening. But luckily, some of the other trends are a little bit more substantial and actually indicate good things about how we're using our credit.
Oh, wow. Like what, for example?
So one thing is that we have fewer debts and collections than before. Now just 23% of consumers have any debts and collections, which is down from 26% several years ago. 23% is still a lot for, you know, a lot of people that have any accounts and collections, but at least it's coming down. Another good thing is that people who are delinquent on their debts in general, that's much lower than it has been in the past. Now we're at about 1.7% 15 years ago, or the 15-year average was more than 2%. We're also paying back a lot of credit card debt. In the first quarter of 2018, we paid more than $40 billion in credit card debt, which is more than usual. So there, you know, there is some evidence that we're actually doing good things, and maybe across the board, everyone's kind of improving.
Well, we're speaking with Maria LaMagna, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. She's written a story about how FICO scores, with an average of 704, are at their highest levels ever. So kind of bring that back to the basics here and the relevance of having a strong credit score.
Definitely. So if you you know, want to apply for credit of any kind, whether that's a credit card, a mortgage, a car loan, some employers even check your credit history when they're thinking about giving you a job. It's really to your benefit to have as high of a score as you possibly can. You can save yourself a lot of money in the long run by having lower rates on loans. You might have better credit card options that can give you better perks. So, you know, if you're ever applying for an apartment or a home, you really want to put yourself in the best position that you can. So all of these things are really good. And even if you're not planning to apply for anything, it's just a good way to track your financial health. So it is a really positive thing that it's looking like people are doing better. Just one more sign that after the recession, we're kind of improving all of our financial health.
MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna, 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You've heard me talk about Beachbody On Demand for a while now. Have you gotten your free trial yet? With an Insanity workout, for example, I love the fact that you can do it all from your home. No additional equipment needed. That makes it extremely convenient. And you can even do it when you're on the road. Over 700 workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding and weight training to cardio and yoga, even dance workouts. Also, success doesn't just happen in the gym, right? So Beachbody On Demand has tools to help make eating right easier. Dozens of easy-to-follow meal plans and hundreds of delicious recipes. My listeners can try Beachbody On Demand right now, absolutely free. What are you waiting for? Join the over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text the word Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, to 303030.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday, October 4, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Seven police officers shot during a hostage crisis in South Carolina, one of them fatally. The gunman was arrested. Lawmakers will be briefed today on the FBI report about Brett Kavanaugh. A judge prevents the Trump administration from ending temporary deportation protections. National League Division Series begins today. Colts at Patriots in Thursday Night Football. And a divided Wisconsin couple splits their front lawn for campaign signs. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Salon Pause Lidocaine Plus Pain Relievers. The announcement that Amazon will pay its workers a minimum of $15 an hour is fresh evidence that the strong job market is forcing businesses to bid up wages for lower-skilled workers and spreading the benefits of a long-running economic expansion to many who have been left behind. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Marath says declining unemployment suggests a shortage of workers ahead, which is forcing employers to pay more. Eric, how has the landscape changed all of a sudden?
Yeah, so Amazon announced a $15 pay increase, and then I think most importantly, and that's been a little bit overlooked, they announced it's going to start next month. And that means right at the time where a lot of retailers and warehouses and all those folks are looking to find seasonal workers, Amazon just upped the ante in terms of what sort of should be the minimum pay you can expect for these jobs. So right off the bat, a lot of competitors, and that is not just other websites, that's Walmart, that's Macy's, that's UPS, all need workers right now. And Amazon just said, well, we're going to pay everyone $15 an hour.
Boy, is that the ripple effect of this job market?
Yeah. I mean, so we talked to a number of economists, and they said you know, sure, there's some PR here, there's some politics here, but it's the labor market. You know, it's probably a sign that Amazon is struggling to fill all its need for labor, you know, especially this counts even for seasonal workers, part-time workers. So, you know, they're upping the ante and getting a lot, basically a big public help wanted ad.
Wow. Percentage-wise, this will be, what, the largest jump among low-skilled workers compared to other workers, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit hard to sort out. So Amazon didn't fully disclose, you know, the average. They say it varies by location, you know, so the average number of people getting the raise or the amount of the raise. So it's a little bit hard to determine. I mean, it's probably not quite the same effect as, say, when California does a minimum wage increase, but you know, California is one state. You know, Amazon's located in, I think, most states at this point. So it's going to have certainly a nationwide effect that when even a big state does a minimum wage increase, you know, that's still localized.
Yeah. Does it reduce turnover?
Well, you know, that's the hope for the full-time employees, that, you know, if you raise your wage, you know, people will be less likely to jump. And that's something we talk to economists about, that, you know, for, you know, professionals, say like an engineer or something like that, they might think of a lot of different factors like the healthcare, the benefits, you know, the position in the company, the culture. If you're working a low-wage job at a warehouse or maybe a fast food restaurant, those jobs are very similar in different locations. So if someone offers you a dollar more an hour, you know, you're more likely to jump at it. And so if Amazon is putting themselves a dollar or two ahead of that competition, that means, you know, maybe their workers won't be looking to just take the next job for a quarter more an hour.
Mm. We're speaking with Eric Marath, Wall Street Journal economics reporter. He's written a piece about how Amazon's wage increase is adding pressure for other employers to boost their pay. Well, you mentioned a company in Pennsylvania that operates these distribution centers, Radial Inc.
Yeah,
this guy's saying he's going to have to bump pay 10% to 15% and bonuses for like because he needs like 20,000 people.
Right. Yeah. He needs a ton of workers for the holiday season, and so they're bumping pay and adding bonuses. They're raffling off televisions. They're in Reno, Nevada, where they have a warehouse. It's kind of on the outskirts of town. They're actually paying for buses to pick people up downtown and take them out to the warehouse. So they're kind of pulling out all the stops to meet demand. But, you know, he kind of showed the broader picture here that in this tight labor market. He said he actually turned down work. There were some customers that came to him and they needed so much holiday specific work. He said it just doesn't make sense to take on that business because we don't know that we can get those people. He said something else very interesting. They're investing a lot in robots, conveyor belts, automation. He said he needs to be able to get the number of workers under control, and he's doing that by these robots where instead of the workers moving the product around the warehouse, the robots go and get the product and bring it to the person who's, you know, packing the boxes, needs to make that human decision. But the robot is the one, you know, being the gopher.
It's incredible. You had a guy make a point, too, who said the market wage is rising faster than the minimum wage in many places. What does that mean broadly?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about this. Certainly a few years ago, we were talking a lot about how California and New York were kind of building on the momentum that San Francisco and Seattle started, which was pushing the minimum wage up to you know, near $15 an hour. But even those increases are still a ways off in at least at the state level. Well, Amazon and others are upping the ante, and they're not waiting for the government to tell them they have to pay $10 or $15 an hour. They're paying it themselves. So I actually had a conversation, didn't make it into the story, but I had a conversation with a restaurant owner, and he said, hey, I used to be really worried about those minimum wages, but now it's just what I have to pay to get workers.
Thanks, Eric. That's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Marath. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm and you can handle it, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. It's no small thing that it's Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So is it Cookie Monster, Kermit the Frog, or a combination of both? Whichever Muppet you choose, one thing is clear. People have noticed that Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has a very unique speaking voice. The Chiefs have been ribbing Mahomes about his voice ever since he joined the team last season, but since he has become the talk of the NFL early this season, the way he talks has been thrust into the national spotlight. Here's a clip from a recent press conference.
starting the huddle and then getting on at the line of scrimmage, of knowing the cadence, but at the same time making the protection calls within the play clock. I mean,
teammate Eric Murray says Mahomes' voice sounds muddled, like he's gargling his throat. Kareem Hunt says it sounds like he has something stuck in his throat, raspy with mucus or something. And Travis Kelce called it a mix between Cookie Monster and Kermit the Frog. During a news conference yesterday, Mahomes admitted the national response to his voice has taken him by surprise.
Well, I'm sure it has. If it started with the Chiefs teasing him, his teammates, I can live with that.
Right.
But if this is just the media, like, making something up to beat a guy down who's having a lights-out season,
I'm pretty sure.
Shame.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Andy Reid actually does an impression of him as well. I heard that. I heard that pretty much everybody, including his own head coach, does an impression of him. So this started a while ago, and he said now that he's basically, like, you know, one of the biggest stars in the league, everybody's now taking notice.
You don't do this if he's thrown zero touchdowns and, like, 9 interceptions.
Right.
You leave that alone.
Yeah, no one's really going to notice that.
Winning in big-powered offense helps these things.
Yes, this is the worst thing he's got going for him. He's doing okay.
He's something. I mean, how about just the lefty throw the other day?
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
Right? Like falling down. Throw it lefty.
Yes, I think I had a chance at him on my fantasy team at one point, but that has since gone long by the wayside.
Let's not bring up a touchy subject here.
Yes. And you'll remember we told you a few weeks ago, Gordon, about the NFL player who decided to quit right in the middle of a football game. This would seem to be the real-world version of that. A U.S. postal worker in New Jersey decided to quit on the job and left thousands of envelopes on the side of the road. Several boxes full of correspondence were left on the side of a road in southern New Jersey outside of Philadelphia. And on Sunday, a Facebook user spotted the abandoned mail and posted a photo of it, where it was shared thousands of times. The post office where the mail originated from said it would collect and deliver the mail to its intended recipients. No explanation was given for why the postal worker left the mail on the side of the road, but they say the worker had resigned on September 8th. So if you do the math here, he resigned on September 8th, and then they just found this mail.
Yeah.
This past weekend. So I'm kind of curious where the sort of discrepancy of a few weeks was going on.
Yeah. Hopefully my bills are in there. Well, if this is a thing, then watch this, Mike. See ya.
Jennifer Gashenka is coming up next on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday. A new study finds parents have just 32 minutes to themselves every day once work and parenting duties are tended to, and many have to hide from their kids to get a breather. One reason? Some say they don't actually stop working until at least 8 p.m. The new survey conducted by the meal delivery service Munchery found free time is ever elusive when you're a full-time working parent. Also added to the mix are 6 car journeys per week, taking children to school and other activities, while parents rack up 5 trips to the grocery store per week and have to deal with their kids acting out and misbehaving an average of 5 times per week as well. That kind of schedule doesn't exactly lend itself to loads of free time. The study also found, by the way, that parents' busy schedules tend to negatively affect their diet. 88% of parents admit to being too busy to cook, and 96% reported that not having enough time to cook results in them indulging in less healthy food. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, all 100 senators and a handful of Senate staff will be able to read the FBI's new report on sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Background checks are a routine part of any nominee's vetting process and are generally delivered to the Senate without much fanfare. But this background check, requested by a trio of senators who are undecided on Kavanaugh's confirmation, will be different. As senators review the information, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's moving forward with a confirmation vote.
This information comes on top of what was already been one of the most thorough and most exhaustive Senate reviews of any Supreme Court nominee in the entire history of our country.
McConnell says a procedural vote will take place tomorrow with a final vote set for Saturday. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to temporarily halt its plan to end a special federal immigration program that has allowed hundreds of thousands of immigrants to legally live and work in the U.S. for decades. The preliminary injunction prevents the deportation of an estimated 240,000 immigrants from El Salvador, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Sudan, who were facing a series of deadlines starting in November to depart the country or risk becoming undocumented immigrants. The judge ruled that the administration based its decision on animus against non-white, non-European immigrants. The ruling is the latest blow against President Trump's efforts to overhaul the nation's immigration laws. Federal agents have detained a man in Logan, Utah, in connection with letters sent to the Pentagon that initially were believed to contain the deadly poison ricin, as well as a letter sent to the White House. 39-year-old William Allen III was taken into custody yesterday. The Pentagon says the letters didn't contain ricin, as initially believed, but instead contained castor seeds from which the poison is derived. Good news for flyers. The Senate has passed a measure that would give airline passengers new rights. Among the key provisions, no bumping passengers who have already boarded, better accommodations for pregnant and breastfeeding mothers, the ability to always check strollers at the gate, and new seat size minimums. It would also make it illegal to put animals in overhead bins, but the bill does not tackle those pesky airline baggage fees.
All right, so no animals in overhead bins. We learned a tough lesson from that.
Very tough.
Well, the airline did. We all knew it was not right. What about, children acting out who are over the age of 5 in overhead bins?
That's okay.
Like 20 minutes or
if
so.
They
just
fit,
just
that's
like
no
a
problem.
Cool down period or whatever.
Yeah. No problem.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Say hello to Art and Barbara Bushu, a couple for our polarized times. America's partisan divide runs not just through their marriage, it runs through their front yard. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the Bushus have painted a white line on the grass outside their home in the small southern Wisconsin village of Clinton, about 60 miles southwest of Milwaukee. Art Bushu has placed Republican campaign signs on one side of the line. His wife has placed Democratic signs on the other. Their Rock County village also was split down the middle in 2012, with Democrat Barack Obama winning by 0.3 of a percentage point over Republican Mitt Romney. But in 2016, Donald Trump carried the community by 17 points. Maintaining that their opposing views are nothing serious and they get along just fine, Mr. Bushu jokes about their conflicting worldviews, saying, quote, "She's a union thug and I'm a management moron." For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.